And now let's examine another form of question. It's called the multiple conclusion question. Now, this is a question that is designed to surround an objection with benefits and thereby bury objection. Now, here's how it works. I know that you want. Now, state a benefit. So, isn't it true that? Now, state an objection. Is less important than? Now, restate the benefit. For example, an insurance salesman formula could say, I know that you want a college education for your son. So isn't it true that the premium is less important than his education? How would you like to try and handle that type of a question? An electronic salesman, I know that you want greater accuracy. Isn't it true that the size of the equipment is less important than your confidence in the information you receive? Multiple conclusion question. Surround the objection with benefits. I know that you want, so isn't it true that is less important than?
For you that are somewhat new, you may start feeling somewhat overwhelmed because getting concepts, ideas, techniques that are what I considered somewhat advanced. But if you'll just take a 3x5 card and write down those lead-in words and start rehearsing them, because this close you just heard, I mean, it's fabulous. I can't tell you the number of times that I took someone who was on the fence. They could have said yes, they could have said no. They're wanting someone to help yes, which of course is me, their representative. And I know they're qualified. They have the desire. They have the need. Please realize, if you're true to this profession, if they shouldn't say yes, you won't make them say yes. You won't help them say yes. But if they're qualified, they have the need, the desire, and the financial capacity, oh, this one you're hearing now is just absolutely one of the greatest. Write the three for Doug Say and start rehearsing them today.
Now let's try one called the decisional question. This is a question that's designed to force a decision. Highly professional. First type. Am I right in assuming that if blank is done, happens, you will blank take a specific action? For example, a washing machine salesman, a very simple illustration. Am I right in assuming that if I can guarantee delivery the first thing in the morning, you will complete the application for financing right now? Now there's a second term of these decisional questions. Don't you agree that, and I'll state something you want him to agree to, is the most important reason for, now describe an action that you want him to take. Again, an illustration. Let's look at an automotive salesman. Don't you agree that the fact that this is the only automobile we have in stock that has every single option you want is the most important reason for your ignoring the fact that it is a darker shade of metallic blue than you were looking for? Decisional questions, asking for a decision. And interestingly enough, the areas where salesmen do tend to fall apart, they're constantly avoiding asking for decisions. But the professional is reaching for decisions all the time.
As we explore decisional questions, I've got to say this to you. If you get enough minor little agreements, the major decision will just totally be carried, and that's what decisional question. And that's why constantly getting this little decision, for example, should we meet at your facility or my office? That's an alternative choice as to location. John, after you're involved, would you want me to train one of your people or your entire staff to get the maximum benefits from the copier? You see, little decisional questions like this, when you build them into the presentation as a consummation to closing the sale, There's no decision they can make except to say yes, because you have fundamentally and soundly built the yes momentum, the agreements, and the things necessary to call for that final decision.
Now, here's one type of question I'm a little hesitant about giving you, simply because it's power medicine. Really, it is for highly experienced, full toes only. But I think you ought to at least hear a little bit of the kind of questions that big-time pros use easily. We call them challenging questions, and they're just what the label indicates. They're designed to hit a major problem right on the head and eliminate it as a problem. One example. Why is, now state the problem, more important than, now state the benefit? A truck salesman using this system. Why is, state the problem, the fact that you have never owned one of our trucks more important than the additional profits I can prove our truck will make for you? And we hit the problem head on, and then we offered a benefit. And that's the idea of a challenging question. Now, here's an even tougher form of challenging question. Why do you refuse, now say, yourself, your family, your business, your associates, something of that type. Why do you refuse some people that you're involved with the enormous benefits of, and I'll state the major benefit of your product or service? Again, let's look at an electronics salesman using this. Why do you refuse research staff the enormous benefits of a totally accurate system of test results? Now, I don't care what sales business you're in. If you are strong enough, you can literally aim right at it. Why do you refuse yourself or someone the enormous benefit of your product or your service? If you are a professional salesman, you have the right to ask questions like that.
Let me say here that, yes, you do have the right to ask those questions. Why would you refuse? But I would love you to do what I call padding or softening, making the techniques, the words, a little more gentle. Kind of like, John, I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries here, but we've analyzed the benefits you'll receive, and I have to ask you seriously, why would you deny your company the right to get the benefits of this product based on the fact that? You see, you pad, soften, and always realize that the most powerful techniques are those that are delivered in the form of a question with sincerity and with a feeling that, I don't understand. Please explain more. Because if they don't say yes, I have a total commitment to this belief. There's only two reasons. If you have a great product that they don't say yes to, either they don't understand, which means you have a weak presentation, or they don't believe, which means you don't have the conviction, enthusiasm, the excitement to convince them how desperately they need your product or service.
And now again, strong medicine. Switch off questions. This is one of the systems that professional salesmen use as a method of handling objections. Switch off questions. But you see, most salesmen are gutless wonders. If there's an objection coming down the pike, they panic. And they'll tiptoe as far away as they can tiptoe, trying to avoid this objection. But again, a pro doesn't do this. He meets them head on. But he tends to meet them with switch-off questions. Now, let me illustrate one form of the switch-off question. I'm going to give you a total of three forms because these questions are that important. I know you're concerned by. Now state the objection. But wouldn't you prefer, state the benefit, to now restate objection? What have we done here? We've actually cited the objection out loud twice. But we've put the benefit where he can't ignore it. Do you remember the multiple conclusion question that I had an insurance salesman use that had to do with his son's education? Let me show you how that same question can be turned into a switch off. I know you're concerned by the size of the premium, but wouldn't you prefer your son's education to the premium? That's tough. But it's hitting the objection head on. A residential real estate sale. I know you're concerned by the additional 5 minutes it would take you to get to work. But wouldn't you prefer the pride and comfort that your family will gain in this fine home to an additional 10 minutes a day of driving time? Switch off, but you're facing the objection on. Let's take another example of a switch off question. While, state the objection, seems vital at this moment, in the long run, your ability to, state the benefit, dominates your decision, doesn't it? How would this work? Cookware salesman. The size of the investment in this stainless steel cookware seems vital at this moment. In the long run, your ability to provide for the health of your family dominates your decision, doesn't it? A security salesman using the same switch off. While the weakness of the market seems vital at this moment, in the long run, ability to acquire securities at less than their actual asset value dominates your decision, doesn't it? And now the final form of a switch-off question. And this is for the major objections only. You save this until you run into a major, big-time objection. May I ignore? Now state his major objection. If I can prove, now state the major benefit. A farm equipment salesman. May I ignore your doubts about the size of this year's harvest? If I can prove that this equipment will pay for itself in 5 years, even with subnormal harvests? An insurance salesman. May I ignore your belief that you are overinsured if I can prove that your estate faces a severe tax problem? Meeting it head on. Real estate salesman. May I ignore your desire to see more homes if I can prove that this home not only meets but exceeds all of your desires? That's switch off.
I so hope that as you listen to these switch offs and these exciting concepts, that you're stopping the recorder, taking a pen and creating and writing, customizing, making these wonderful concepts so applicable to your product or service, the key to the training.
Now, there's another fascinating form. It's called the feedback. Whenever anyone hits you with an aggressive objection or statement, don't try to answer it. First, feed it back. For example, someone says to you, "It costs too much." You say to him, "It costs too much." "It's too big." "It's too big." "It's too small." "It's too small." Feed it right back as a question. What do you force him to do when you feed it back? You force him to explain it. And in many cases, he gives up right there because he really can't validate. This is too big. This is too big. I can't wait that long. You can't wait that long? Feedback. Now, there's another type of feedback question. We call it the rephrased feedback. This has more bite. What you do is to take his aggressive statement or objection and you rephrase the feedback. It costs too much. You mean your family isn't entitled to this kind of a home? Rephrased feedback. I can't afford it. You mean that you will allow a budget to keep you from acquiring something that you're entitled to? Rephrased feedback. Now I want to hit something that isn't really questions, but it has to do with the basic question technique. We call these control phrases. Now, one of the situations that a salesman gets with much of his life is the situation where all of a sudden the person he's selling to starts wandering away from the point that the salesman is trying to make. Or he starts getting into an area that the salesman would just as soon avoid. Well, now, how do you get him back on your track? Will you do it with what we call control phrases? The greatest of all the control phrases is the simple one, by the way, this is the greatest interrupter in the world. If someone's going off into an area that you don't want to talk about, you simply say to him, by the way, and then start talking about what you want to talk about, because the by the way is an automatic gear shift in his mind. It makes him switch gears right now. By the way. Now, another one of these power phrases. Say, do you know? That, again, is an interrupter and a system of making him change gears and start going along the route you want him on. Say, do you know? Or say, did you know? Now, another excellent one. Tell me, and then ask him a question, and this will take him right off the track he's on. Tell me, and then ask him a question. Any one of the question forms we've been talking about. Another one, forget to tell you, and now you go right to a benefit. Did I forget to tell you, and go directly to a benefit. Now these are the interrupters.
Another good interrupter that you might add to your arsenal of technique is that if a person is so talkative and they have literally taken control of your presentation, you may want to wait, and of course, now this is the very talkative client. Just wait and listen, be patient. As they take a breath between a sentence or a paragraph, you quickly insert. That's an interesting point. Could you elaborate on that? Now, what will this do? It will, first of all, startle some of the most talkative types, because no one's ever told them that that was an interesting point. It'll also make him focus on exactly what he was talking about. You would listen and then say, interesting, and then use the three neutralizing words, by the way, and then go back into your presentation.
What are we talking about here? We're talking about the magic of a thing we call professional selling. Are you beginning to get some slight idea of the kinds of skills that are of the makeup of the big-time professional salesman? These question forms have become an absolute, total part of him. And this really isn't anything new. How many times have you had this happen to you? Junior walks up to you. Junior says, hey, Daddy, why is the moon white? And now, out of your vast store of knowledge, you tell him why the moon's white. And when you finish with this fabulous explanation of yours, he looks up at you and says, why? So now you go on, you tell him a little more, and he looks up at you and says, why? Who is controlling whom on condition? He who asks the last question is under control. And therefore, maybe this should be a part of your basic understanding of the sales process. Whenever you're in trouble, ask a question. Basic principle. Get them involved. You see, today, people have an enormous pride in themselves. They have an enormous belief in their own accomplishments. And today is very pleased with the standard of living that he's acquired. And that's why proud, pleased people will not allow a salesman to tell them. And really, there's nothing so wrong with this. As long as we feel that as individuals are so completely competent that we don't have to be told, but we rather have the ability to answer questions, as long as that situation exists, our society will be sound. The only time a society is not sound is when that society cannot ask questions. So not only is this system of asking questions a need as far as you are concerned as an individual, it is also an enormously competent tool which will aid you in getting sales made. The professional salesman, this great and wonderful creature that I dedicate my life to, has one other basic common denominator. Every one of these great pros believe with all their hearts in their product. They've taken the time required to make that first and critical sale. They have sold their product to themselves. You see, interesting, there's only one real difference between a professional salesman and a con man. They both use the same tactics and techniques, which is this. The salesman is offering a product that he understands and believes in. The con man is offering a product he doesn't believe in. And the thing I want to get across to you right now is this. Don't use any of these advanced techniques to sell a product that you believe in. Because if you use it, then you're a con. But if you believe in that product, use every technique that's available to you. And I've tried here to give you some small understanding of the degree of skill that is required of the professional salesman. This is only one segment of his skills. But there's nobody listening to me right now that can really learn to use these question forms that we've just gone through here in less than 1 year of concentrated effort. Because you're not used to asking questions. You're used to telling people. You're used to showing off with your product, showing off your knowledge, showing off your information, showing them how smart you are when you try and sell a product or a service. And now I'm telling you the professional doesn't do that. He asks questions and leads them to the decision that will provide benefit for them. The professional is a practicing pro. Now you have some question forms. I recommend this to you. I recommend that you design under each one of these question form categories not less than 5 different questions in each one of the categories that you can use during your selling day. And when you have developed them, learn them. Practice, drill, and rehearse them until they're a whole few. Because until that happens, they're just words in your ear. And I will have failed at my job, because my job is to make them actions in your hands. Questions are the answer. Thank you very much.
This is the end of this tape. The program continues on the next tape.